Since the uprising in Syria began more than 5 months ago, the military has used tanks and heavy weapons on cities and towns that are centers of protest. NPR's Kelly McEvers reports from Beirut on whether those tactics are working.
There are two versions of the military crackdown in Syria. The anti-government version is that peaceful protesters are being attacked by their own army. The government version is that the military is battling an armed insurgency led by terrorists. So the question of whether the military strategy is working depends on who you ask. Even here in neighboring Lebanon, people are divided on the subject. One day there'll be a rally in support of the protesters. The next, there'll be one in support of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad.
Seems like mostly young guys, a couple of guys up on a truck with a microphone carrying Syrian flags. And this is a pretty unusual thing, right, in a country like Lebanon that was basically occupied by Syria for almost 30 years, from 1976 to 2005.
General Amin Hotait was there for much of this Syrian presence. He's a retired general in the Lebanese army. He says it's no surprise that Syria is using tanks against its own people, given that's how forces around the world deal with terrorists and other armed enemies.
In Afghanistan, you know, the NATO use the aircraft and use the tanks. And Libya, you know, NATO use the aircraft against man only has a Kalashnikov. That's the rule of the military, and that's the rule of the operations.
In many of these cases, there are civilian casualties. In the case of Syria, human rights groups say the way civilians have been killed and injured, from indiscriminate shelling, from cutting off of services, and from forced disappearances, amounts to crimes against humanity. The UN is deciding whether to refer the case to the International Criminal Court. Which brings us to the other version of the story. If the Syrian military is not actually fighting a large-scale insurgency, but instead using its army to put down a mostly peaceful uprising, then what is the strategy?
There is no strategy. The strategy is the survival.
That's Elias Hanna, another retired Lebanese general who has experience with the Syrians.
In Syria, you cannot really differentiate between the regime itself, the intelligence apparatuses, you know, all of them, as well as the army. If one loses, the other loses.
So that means if your job is total regime survival, your enemy is the people who oppose you. And that means killing your own people as a way to keep governing your own people. In other words, Hannah says, it's a strategy that's eventually doomed. One hope of the protesters in Syria is that army commanders will realize this dilemma and begin refusing to shoot their own people, as the army did in Egypt. Or that large numbers of soldiers will defect to the rebel side, as they did in Libya. But one retired Syrian officer, who spoke to us by Skype, says these scenarios are very unlikely. He did not want to give his name or rank for fear of reprisals. He says his fellow officers enjoy great perks in the way of money, cars, houses, power, and impunity. So why would they want to defect? What's more, he says, what could they defect to? So far, there's no unified opposition in Syria, and the punishment can be brutal. One of his friends recently did defect, then left the country. Now the man's father and two brothers back in Syria have been thrown in prison. The Syrian regime has spent four decades building a military bent on survival, the retired officer says. It's not going to give up easily. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Beirut.